Welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good morning, good evening, good night. Good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Podcast Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. And today we have a wonderful guest. His name is Alexander Cabot. He was born in Havana, Cuba, and on an old moon in September's autumnal equinox. He was the first child born to his mother. She had a miscarriage of her first pregnancy arising from a hex put on her, one filled with envy and deceit. Alexander grew up knowing that he was born to counteract that spell and save his mother's happiness and life. Living in New York at a very tender age, he was taught the magical traditions of a line of men in his family. Within that lineage, his great-grandfather, grandfather, and father possessing initiated Masonic on the occult sciences presented a good influence for him to model himself to. Being not of English descent, he was genuinely curious and heartfully drawn to British traditional witchcraft at an early age of 11. Through the writings of Gardner, Sibylick, Dorian Valiente, when Alexander Cabot became 13 years of age, he was initiated in Palo Mayombe of the Congo Afro-Cuban. Then he began his spiritual studies of El Evangelio de Allan Kardec at Templo La Luz Cristóbal de Jesús and was crowned on his 19th birthday. African spirit guides carried him to be initiated into the African diaspora religions such as Santeria, Lukumin tradition. He was the right-hand man for an Oriet chef high priest. Alexander was initiated and taught Welsh and Garnerian New York Wicca by Lady Rhea throughout the 90s. But for several years after, he devoted all his time to his profession in surgery. Having mastered that purpose for the all, he has personally decided to return to the craft and re-energize his spiritual journey again. Started on the Great Sabbath, Samhain 2019, being mentored, initiated, and ordained by the official witch of Salem, Reverend Lori Cabot, High Priestess. His communal energies are now in Salem, Massachusetts, as well as in New York City, where he resides, being a third degree high priest of the Cabot Kent Hermetic Temple and an elder in his community. Wow, talk about a biography. I'm so honored and I'm so happy that you're here today with us. Alexander, how are you? Do you like to be called Alexander or Alex?
Alexander, as I've gotten older.
All right, beautiful. It's so good to have you here, Alexander. And thank you for saying yes to this interview. How are you tonight?
Very good. And thank you to Selena Fox, who actually put me in contact with you. And I love Selena wholeheartedly for so many years as an elder and such a such a great contributor to the community. So I wanted to actually give back. So I'm happy to be with you, Laura. And this is a wonderful moment to convey my story.
And what a fascinating story, because for good or bad, a lot of people in the neo-pagan community, see people that look like me, that look like us, and they assume right away that we practice some kind of one of the diaspora religions, right? Such as Santeria, correct, or Lukumi or Palo, mm-hmm, or something like that. And then I tell them, I'm Mexican. That didn't make it to Mexico. And if it did, it's too watered down and it's too distorted. So it is really an honor to have someone who actually practices that and understands that and can explain to us what that is. So the first question, I mean, I normally ask my guests, how did you get into the pagan path? But I think you were in the path before you were even born.
As a part of my innate incarcerated, yo encarcelado, what we call the soul. Yes, definitely. This is a path. This is something that I've been with for many reincarnations or evolutions throughout various lives. And so I think that mysticism and the occult sciences have played a very big important role in my life. And this is a part of it, of what I'm carrying out now with the divine, the feminine divine, and having that reverence towards the feminine divine. And so I started out at a very young age, wholeheartedly with British traditional witchcraft, and that, it, I don't know, it was something that it was innate, it was a calling, and I did not figure it out, and at that time, growing up in the 70s, we didn't have the internet, obviously it was the New York City Public Library, or the encyclopedia that my folks had for me. And so I did my own research, and I remember, you know, being fascinating within my own native culture, being fascinated with the African diaspora traditions, including the whole umbrella of the ATRs, which are the Santeria Lukumi, and of course, Palomayombe. Palomayombe, it was nothing. I don't believe in coincidence. I think that it is a reason. There's a reason for everything, the bad, the good, the ugly. There's always a reason for everything in life that you experience. So one of the things that I did was that it just, at the age of 13, I just fell into knowing certain individuals that were practitioners of Palo Monte. And this is something that I was fascinating at a very young, a tender age. And so that helped me evolve and absorb the knowledge of those ATRs, African diaspora religions. And then on to spiritualism, the whole umbrella. And then of course, the specific branch that Allan Kardec was given, which is called Spiritist. So that I was able to study with all three novels. I believe the three or four novels that I had to study and also practice, because I was part of a temple. And at that, in that era of the early 80s, I remember that it was quite genuine. Now that I look back, it was very genuine and very humble. A congregation of adults that were like-minded, and they congregated for the same purpose, for the divine, for the spirit, for the evolution and reverence of the life after. And so this is something that at a young age of 15, I ventured into, and they took a liking to me as a young pup, you know, a neophyte. And so I was able to grow and understand and develop my mediumic abilities. I then later, you know, after that whole process, like everything in life, it's a building block, and it's one step after the other. And so then after that, I went into what was the Santeria Lukumi within my own culture. And I was not looking for it. It just developed. And it's something, it's a guidance of spirit towards that path. And so I ended up being trained and taught and guided through an Oriate, which he's a chief high priest within that praxis. And then obviously being taught by the Babalaos of Ifa. And I knew, I understood, and I developed that wisdom, you know, and knowledge through those praxis, that practices of Lukumi. And then later on being initiated and transferred into becoming a full blossom priest, let's say. And but one of the things that diverged me from that community was the politics and the ego, and also the animal sacrifice. I was not really, I understood that the animal was respected while it was, slaughtered. The animal then is consumed in its entire fashion. So I understood its purpose, but that was on a lower vibration, and I understood that the results were quicker. You know, magically, the results were quicker. It was on a lower vibration within our realm of existence. And so I understood and felt it was palpable for, you know, the magic at its moment. And I knew that was not going to be long lived for in my life because of the animal sacrifices, obviously the politics involved and the egos within the community. And I ventured into, I always knew about Herman Slater and the magical child, and of obviously the traditions of Eddie Baczynski as a young man at the time. This was like, and then of course enchantments in Greenwich Village with Lady Rhea, and she was so approachable and so motherly and so warm. That who wouldn't gravitate towards a woman like her? And so I was able to soak in that New York legacy and become, and then being mentored and initiated by her and within the New York Welsh traditionalist and then Gardnerian and its offshoot, New York Wicca. Mm-hmm. So this is something that gave me the start of the divine and feminine divine and its balance. And obviously I had training in my younger years with my parents. My mother was the daughter of the Eastern Star. And I remember being held by her hand and being brought into the lodge. And so going back into time, I then comprehended that that was a magical tradition as well. And that was a start for me to know about the occult sciences and what was labeled the occult sciences back in the 70s as a child, and understood about feminine divinity and male divinity and its balance within our own plane of existence. And so that gave me the start in order for me to search onward with the African diaspora, and then of course with Lady Rhea and Eddie Baczynski and Herman Slater, and then on to in 2009 that I decided to return to the craft by honoring my own Celtic heritage. And what better person than the Reverend Laurie Cabot of Salem, Massachusetts. And so I started my own pilgrimage back into Salem from New York City to Boston, Boston to Salem. And so that happened from 2009 until 2014 that I was ordained and initiated by the Reverend Mother. And then from there on, she bestowed the title of ambassador for Brazil as a representative. And because of my association, professional association with Brazil, I was my first time in Brazil was in 2003, when as a surgical assistant, I was there. For a symposium, a teaching symposium, and I love Brazil. I found it so magical and so warm and so welcoming, and of course, so similar to my native culture that it just was a done deal. And so Brazil, then I started venturing to Brazil and exploring all of Brazil because it's such a large country.
Mm-hmm.
And so Brazil then was so familiar with me, and she knew that I had such association with Brazil, and then I was appointed as a representative. And mm-hmm. So 2014, I'd made my pilgrimage to teach in Sao Paulo, and also, and I taught at the University of Rio de Janeiro. What the cabbage tradition was all about. And it was my first time that I developed this PowerPoint presentation. Little did I know that the PowerPoint presentation would become this tea time with the cabbage tradition. And now I've been teaching it ever since.
Yes. And that's how I kind of knew of you. I didn't have the pleasure until right now to actually meet you. And as you said very eloquently, thank you, Selena Fox, because she's the one that made the wonderful connection.
Correct.
Which I'm very thankful. The little things, right? You are working under Laurie Cabot, the greatest Laurie Cabot, and I am under the greatest Selena Fox. It's like, somebody wake me up, please. But I want to go back a little bit and just ask you a question about your upbringing and such young age and wonderful knowledge and adventures. Is Santeria, Ifa, and all of those religions, are they considered pagan religions, or are they not considered pagan religions?
I believe that for the American interpretation, they do fall because they're polytheistic. So they would fall under the umbrella of mm-hmm. paganism.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be technical, scholarly, they would fall under but they are the ATRs.
Yeah.
They are the African traditional religions, or as we know, the African diaspora religions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also voodoo.
Yeah.
Vudan.
Yeah. What is your opinion? What is your take on the incredible embrace of the people in the United States and the fascination with the African diaspora traditions, and particularly the Orishas, particularly the lady behind you, Yemaya? Why do you think
that's a mother. That's she's been with me since the beginning. When I was growing up, it was quite a big question mark. I don't think there was great acceptance because of the, especially with the animal sacrificing, people did not know. People thought it was like, you know, just cruel and just so inhumane. But we do sacrifice animals for our sustenance. You know, we eat meat. We, you know, obviously, are we designed to eat meat? I don't think so. I think that where our teeth are, we're designed to eat more of a vegetable, you know, content. But we became carnivorous. I think that we were fat. It was fashioned by mankind for us to eat meat. So we do sacrifice animals for our sustenance since the beginning. So I think that people did not know how that was done. So nowadays, I think in modern times, presently, the ATRs have become more of an acceptance. They are fascinated with it. They see its magic. They feel its magic. But like I said, it's a quicker result. When it comes to those type of praxis. So that's a type of understanding that I've come to realize that the results, because of its lower vibration or vibration close to this realm of existence. So, but we as spiritual beings having a human experience, we tend to go up the ladder and we need to focus more on a higher vibration. Mm-hmm. So that's why we need meat to survive? I don't think so. I love meat. I'm a meat eater. I'm a carnivorous, but do we need meat? I don't think so. I think that we could sustain ourselves with plant life and everything else.
And I agree.
But that's someone's preference.
Exactly.
You know, I'm just stating the whole entire picture, not a portion of the picture, even though I love to eat meat. I enjoy it, but I think that I choose to. And I think that we could sustain ourselves with plant life as well as eating meat. So
yeah,
that's all one's own prerogative.
Exactly. And I, as a very newly vegan myself, I've only been, it's going to be a year pretty soon. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a choice. And what I have always thought is like, life eats life. Because the plants and the vegetables and the fruits that we eat, they're alive as well. They're full of energy and they are growing and they have a family or kindred, if you will. So, you know, that is such personal preference. And
I
disagree when people get into the, so to speak, high horse and, you know, start preaching on somebody else. It's a very personal.
You shouldn't. You know, that's... When it comes to, you know, our children, when it comes to certain things that are more important, that yes, I, you know, you could have a voice. And but if you start, you know, being the authority on certain topics, which are not, you know, it's not necessary. You know, who are you to be policing people? You know, there's meat lovers, there's vegetarians, and of course there's vegans. And I think that that's part of humanity, and we have to live together.
Exactly. So going back to the do what you will, because, you know, that's I kind of like play around with my students and my friends. And I always say the four most magical words: you do you, boo. You do you, and you do what you need to do. But speaking of you do you, a lot of people in the United States are doing themselves and they're seeing the Orishas as gods and goddesses. And as much as I don't practice any of the African diaspora, I had to study it because people would continue asking me, even though I said I don't practice it, you know, I needed to learn about it. So I know the Orishas or Orishas are manifestations of the divine as forces of nature, right?
Correct.
And in the Mexica Tenochca tradition, the so-called Aztec religion, which that I do practice, is a very similar concept where the so-called gods and goddesses are forces of nature. So what do you think, why do you think people are so fascinated to see the Orishas as goddesses, specifically the feminine energies as goddesses? I think it's beautiful, but as a practitioner of those religions, what is your opinion on that?
So yes, it's amazing that nowadays the Odishas of the ATRs are so accepted and so hungered. You know, you have people now recognizing Yemangja, Yemaya, as such a, you know, great figure of female divinity. And so, yes, I always have her above my altar because I was crowned with Yemaya many moons ago, and I've had her throughout my life. She's been presently spiritually with manifestations that I've had with her, according, you know, through my young life and, of course, my adulthood. And so she, that lithograph is from Brazil, and it's a copy of a painting that was done in Brazil by the colonials, Portuguese, that wanted to paint the goddess Isis. And while what happened was that because of the demographics in Brazil, that was more of the Afro-Brazilian diaspora, he turned the Isis into a Caucasian Yemangja. And that's how that portrait was born. A lot of people don't know that history, but that was given, that history was given to me by my good friend and brother, Claudine Prieto of Brazil. And so, yes, the public now yearns for the Orishas and loves the energy, that the nature-based energies of these deities, that we know them within, that I especially know of within the religion of Santeria Lukumi. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the American public now understands fully. I see a more of an acceptance with the ATRs. Mm-hmm. And of course, voodoo being such a huge force in New Orleans throughout its history, throughout its making, and of course, America's own praxis or practice of Hudan, being a Hudan. So I think that is something wonderful. Voodoo being more of the spiritual path, and then hoodoo being more of the practice. Mm-hmm. So that is more of an acceptance within the community, of the American community. So I've seen its growth and its evolution.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's wonderful that people are not only, I think there's first an attraction, right, to the aesthetics of the things, but then the study and the educational research, and then the connection, you know, the connection. Correct. That comes from it. This is so fascinating. I'm so happy to have you on the show. We're going to take a little break. We're going to listen to some music. We're going to take a break so we can take some water or something. And we'll be right back with more here on Lunatic Mondays. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you. maya shushango iyo batala wankantanka itukashila odumakumaya weija es tu madre es tu padre es tu alma y tu espíritu familia es tu vida es tu corazón es tu mundo completamente Jai Ganesha, Saraswati Shiva Ishtari Shanti, Aphrodite, Proserpine, Jaya Danukuna Heani Athena. Es tu hermana, es tu hermano, es mejor que tu amorado. Es tu futuro y tu pasado, son tus niños y tu antepasado.
You are listening to Lunatic Mondays, building bridges of community around the world. We'll continue with more. Don't go anywhere. And we're back with more here on Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos. Never forget, please, that there are over 300 hours of podcasts being recorded. We have several shows throughout the month. We have two shows with Selena Fox, Nature Mystic, and Nature Spirituality that air on Wednesdays. We have Circle Talk with Deborah Rose twice on Tuesdays, two Tuesdays a month. And then we have David and Janet Ewen two Thursdays a month. And of course, Paganos del Mundo every Saturday, Paganos del Mundo on Spanish and Portuguese. And yours truly, Lunatic Mondays, the first Monday is in Spanish. Second and fourth Monday of the month are in English, such as today. And I'm very happy to be back here with Alexander Cabot. Alexander, welcome back. Speaking of fascinating people, I'm a nerd. I cannot not be starstruck by Selena. And does that happen with you and Lori, or are you like so used to be around Lori Cabot that doesn't?
I'm used to, you know, I remember Lori Cabot. I was so struck by her back in the 80s. I have to say, I was very enamored when I first met her back in 86. taking a trip to Salem, Massachusetts, and as I was, being a young adult, and so I ventured into the Crow, the Crown. It was actually Crow Haven Corner she had back then, and I was starstruck with her. That was fascinating. I wish I should have taken a picture with her. But then later on in 2009, when I decided to return to the craft and obviously head back into Salem, I starstruck, of course. She's always been a very, very stern, very loving, but very stern and serious woman. A shrewd businesswoman. She's never been, she's always been very businesslike. But at the same time, when it comes to her teachings, she's quite strict. She's not, she doesn't tolerate any frivolous or, nonsense. She's on point with what she's saying and what she's conveying, and for you to be receptive and to understand. And but that's the way, that's her personality. She's I would say she's very of that English heritage, very not warm and fuzzy, but yet, on point. And she's caring and understanding when she has to be, but then she's serious about what she's doing when she's teaching. And I'm sort of that way, but I'm Latin. I'm more warm and fuzzy and loving and understanding and patient and tolerant. But that's different personalities.
Exactly.
And so when I was, she always took a liking to me. I was very respectful, and I never seriously never mentioned my body of work or my background. I was there for a purpose, to learn her first, second, and third degree. I never really had to. I'm not much of ego. Pretty much have my ego in check, because it's a spiritual, evolution. It's a spiritual progress of devotion and perseverance. And so when I was on my path within Salem and the Cabot tradition, I didn't mention anything. I was just there for the didactics and her guidance and her love. And I absorbed all that and became who I am today, publicly known as Alexander Cabot. Mm-hmm. I chose and was given the right to bear the name solely because at second degree, you're given the option to carry the Cabot name as a middle name. Mm-hmm. And I did at third degree. I didn't do it at second degree, but I did it at third degree. And she gave me the honor of just having it as my last name. And I, to this day, I am publicly known as Alexander Cabot because mm-hmm. of my contributions with Brazil, being a representative of the Cabot tradition, and also here in New York, bringing the Cabot tradition to New York, mm-hmm. and having that involvement, with Lady Rhea, who was my first high priestess, and of course, being involved with the New York Coven of Witches for so long. Today I am a mere servant of the goddess. This is a calling. I never expected to be a public figure. I'm never And I'm just who I am. I'm a teacher, and I'll always be a student, because I think that you'll be 90 years of age and you'll still be a student. You know, there's so much to learn from. It's endless, like just like the universe. And so I am just a humble servant of the goddess. And this, since I was a child, and at 55 years of age, I'm still a humble servant of the goddess. And that's why I'm here today and trying to convey my story, trying to teach, trying to represent and to contribute to the community.
Speaking of teaching, I want to give a warm and fuzzy shout out to one of your students, my dear friend Robert. Honey, this one is for you, Robert.
Marilyn.
Because Marilyn. I know you were his teacher, and I know you're teaching a lot of people within the Cabo tradition, obviously. Are there plans to bring these teachings to the multilingual world, to Spanish, to Portuguese? I mean, I'm sure you're already doing a lot of Portuguese, but...
I'm doing a lot of the Portuguese. I'm doing a since 2014 that I brought the tradition, but I'm pretty much... I have people in Mexico and DF that are interested for me to come and actually represent the tradition. And obviously it will be my first native tongue. So to translate all that in Spanish will be wonderful. And also in Spain, I have a Cabot second degree in Spain that in Ibiza that is, you know, would love for me to come.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful, because I think these teachings have to be multi-ethnic, multilingual, and yes, not just, I mean, it is a shame that these wonderful teachers, you know, have only like English. And I always tell my friends, you know, we have to learn English and we have to study so we can receive the information directly from them. But people who are very privileged to be bilingual, such as you and I think it's part of the calling, you know, to kind of...
It is a calling. Yeah. And also I had the opportunity, which I did. I was already set for Lima, Peru, because I was going to visit Machu Picchu, and I had a teaching seminar for the Peruvian Wiccans in Lima, and they were so excited, and it was free. I was going to teach them for free, and it was my contribution to the Peruvian community, and because of COVID, that got stunt, that was obviously delayed, and mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that this March of next year I could do it again, hopefully, if the goddess and God prevails, you know, when and COVID is tamed.
Yeah, we can wait until we can talk about COVID in past tense, but hey, for now, it is what it is.
And for now, it is what it is. Correct.
And we have to take care of each other. We take care of ourselves and each other. You know what I'm talking about, everybody.
Absolutely.
Anywho, you also do podcasts. There you go. Oh, my God. That is beautiful. That is beautiful.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the Finery Shop. Sent to me by the Finery Shop. It's called the Cabot Mask.
Oh,
and
wow.
They make them with the Scottish the plaid, the Royal Stuart plaid, because this is what we use. And so the Finery Shop in Salem, Massachusetts.
Beautiful.
So
thank you for the plug. And speaking of plugging stuff, of plugging things, you also do podcasts. No wonder why Selena decided that we should connect, because you also do podcasts. And tell us a little bit about your podcast. When can we listen to it? Where is it done? How you do it, et cetera.
Oh my God. It's not actually my podcast. It's Eddie Massey's podcast. I am the co-host for it. And it was an idea of Eddie Massey that he came up with the old show that it was done by a Cuban American. What was his name? This Old House. And I forgot, it was a gray-haired man, but he actually was quite successful show that they had about this old house. And so he came up with the concept of this old witch, and with having the city witch and the country witch discuss and come together, a meeting of the minds. And so that's how it was developed. And he got approval and backing from an outside source. And the podcast was born during the COVID time of March, April. Yeah, by the beginning of April. And we've now run it every 2 weeks. So we just had our special guest last night of Utu Witch Doctor. And then the next one will be the 28th, and we will have a special guest. I won't mention him now because he is set, but it needs to be finalized through Eddie. And this is a wonderful podcast that we bring elders. We recognize elders and practitioners of the craft and relay the story, and it's educational and it's an organic podcast. It's not quite serious. It's very home-like. It's organic, and people feel very comfortable. And we've had many guests like Selena Fox. And that's how Selena Fox was so gracious to have me be connected with you now. So yes, it's This Old Witch, and it's on various platforms. We have them. We have it on Facebook. We have it on Spreaker and YouTube, and so many others that Eddie has it through. And I think it's going to be available on a New Orleans radio show. So we're looking forward to that. It's grown. It's actually thanks to the public. The public love it. They really appreciate it. And so we have people from South America, North America, even in Europe that are listening to our podcast. So it's a good thing.
It's a wonderful world because I don't know. I love it. I've been at it for 10 years, and I think it's, I'm venturing on video now because I, you know, because COVID, we have this pre-recording sessions. Yes, folks, we are pre-recording because Alexander has a schedule and so do I. So we're pre-recording today. Dr. Utu was on, November 13th. So this is a little bit afterwards, but
November 14th. Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to say thank you so much for doing this and for bringing more podcasts to the world, because it's a fascinating world and I love technology. And I think we ought to have the voices of the elders, as you mentioned it very eloquently and very accurately, you know, the voices that need to be heard forever. And yours is one of them. That's why you're here today. So I'd like to thank you so much for doing this podcast. We are going to do something in Spanish, ¿verdad que sí? Vamos a hacer algo en español también.
Por supuesto que lo vamos a hacer. No lo voy a dejar pasar.
Y así que esténse pendientes porque también vamos a hacer una entrevista en español. What, for those who speak Spanish, we will do an interview in Spanish and what as well. But Alexander, I want to say thank you very much for being on the show tonight. Thank you very much for being such a good friend of the people that are reaching out to you to learn the Cabot tradition and to do these interviews. And at this moment, I will leave you the microphones and the image so you can say goodnight to your audience.
Absolutely. My total blessings. And as I always say, be a light unto darkness, so you may be the balance of the universe. Blessings to all.
Beautiful, beautiful. Blessings to everybody. And as I always say, good night and thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And never forget that you are loved. Goodbye.
Soul cake, soul cake, please goodness is a soul cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake, please goodness is a soul cake. One for Peter, two for Paul, and three for them that made us all. A soul cake, a soul cake, please goodness is a soul cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake, please goodness is a soul cake. One for me, two for thee, three to hang on the holly tree.
Go down into the cellar and see what you can find. If the barrels are not empty, we'll hope that you'll be kind. We'll hope that you'll be kind with your apple and your pear, and we'll come no more a-soling
till winter time next year. Soul cake, soul cake, please goodness is a soul cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. Soul cake, please goodness is a soul cake. One for Peter, two for Paul, and three for them that made us all. To the Lansing praises, all you live in this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. Our peaceful time of Yuletide brings joy to every face. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Are very dirty, me shoes are very thin. I have a little pocket to put a penny in. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, then we bless you.
Soul cake, soul cake, please goodness is a soul cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake, please goodness is a soul cake. One for me, two for thee, three to hang on the holly tree. Children that round your table go, the horses in your stables, the cats at your front door, and all that dwell within your gates will wish you 10 times more. Soul cake, please goodness is a soul cake.
an apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry. Any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake, please goodness is a soul cake. One for Peter, two for Paul, and three for them that made us all.
Hey, oh, nobody home. Meat nor drink, no money, have a none.
Meat nor drink, no money, have a none.
Meat nor drink, no money, have a none. Meat nor drink, no money, have a none.
Meat nor drink, no money, have a none.
Meat nor drink, no money, have a none. Meat nor drink, no money, have a none.
Home. Soul cake, a soul cake, please good missus, a soul cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry. Any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake, please good missus, a soul cake. One for me, two for thee, three to hang on the holly tree.
One for me, two for thee, three to hang on the holly tree.
Joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.